Greetings in Christ. I'm Pastor Dustin Beck. The New Testament reading for today is from Galatians 2, verses 1 to 21. Then, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers, secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who seemed to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me, God shows no partiality, those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, "If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we, too, were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today's New Testament reading illustrates the uncompromising nature of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel leaves no room for the law to lay demands upon our salvation. St. Paul is so convinced of this foundational truth that he boldly opposed Peter to his face at Antioch. Prior to this confrontation, his teaching had been examined and approved by those who seemed to be influential within the church, Peter included among those so-called pillars. They had agreed that Paul's ministry to the Gentiles was not in vain, but was good and right, and that laws like circumcision and dietary restrictions were part of the law that Jesus had come to fulfill through his perfect obedience for our sake. But this all changed when Peter arrived in Antioch, and Paul observed his behavior when he was alone with the Gentile converts to Christianity, and when the Christians who were Jews by birth were there. His behavior was nothing short of hypocrisy, rooted in undermining the gospel itself. And so Paul stood up and shook this perceived pillar of the church, the man whose confession of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, was to serve as the bedrock foundation of Christ's church. Paul opposed Peter, not because he wanted trouble or out of spite, but because the gospel itself was at stake. He essentially begged the question, how are we saved? Are we justified by works of the law or through faith in Jesus Christ? It can't be both. If the law is a part of salvation, then the law is everything in salvation. Jesus has surely done his part, but if the burden to submit to circumcision, to dietary restrictions, to fellowship rules, and to everything else formerly incumbent upon those who attempted to keep the Torah, well, if that's the case, well, then that is your religion. and Christ's sacrifice is relegated to what amounts to a footnote, or as Paul put it, if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. But Christ has taken the law and sin and death and the devil himself captive by the power of his cross. In his death, he has destroyed death. And when he who knew no sin became sin for our benefit and suffered the wrath of God in our place, it was there that he crucified our sinful nature. I have been crucified with Christ. This is St. Paul's bold confession, and it's the confession of every Christian, too. Our lives are hidden away in Christ, connected by baptism, clothed in his mercy, brought through death and tomb to hear the beautiful promise of peace be with you. And like every other promise, these words are received by faith. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This confrontation had to happen. The gospel itself was at stake. This controversy of whether salvation is received through Christ alone or through faith and good works together, it's the occasion for the entire letter of Galatians. And it's a confrontation that we must not soon forget. The old Adam in each of us has a tendency to look for a way to contribute, a way to affect our own eternal outcome. And he must be silenced, crucified even, put to death so that we might fully rely on Christ as our Savior from sin and death forever. The cross is our theology. The cross is our spirituality. The cross is our life. It's there in the death of God's Son and in his glorious resurrection that we die to the law and live in Christ, in his peace, comfort, and in the great gift of God's righteousness forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let us pray. O Almighty God, merciful Father, who in love has joined us to the precious body of your Son, Jesus Christ, in the waters of holy baptism, grant that we may find peace and comfort in being incorruptible, even as he is incorruptible. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.